CGTV.
Are they laughing at us or do they envy us? Who am I talking about? Well, of course I'm talking about the angels, the celestial beings. Oh, we are prime celestial theater. Oh, yes. We are prime time all the time down here on Earth for them. This is the most exciting show available to them. Because of the contrast, because of what we, members of the body of Christ, are destined to become compared to where we are now, what we are doing now. Oh, yes, they are extremely interested in your life and my life. And by the time I am finished with you here today, you will know for certain whether they are laughing at us or envying us. Those celestial beings who gaze down with long gaze, telephoto lenses, I suppose, watching us. Well, first let me prove that this is happening. This is our apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. I suppose that God demonstrates with us, the last apostles, as death-doomed. For we became a theater to the world and to messengers and to humans. We are stupid because of Christ. We are stupid because of Christ. Paul, indeed, him and his cohorts, they were the last apostles. They weren't the last members of the body of Christ, because here we are 2,000 years later. They were the last ones with the agency of apostleship. Now, apostle generically just means one sent, but an apostle in the sense that Paul's speaking of here is one who has the gift of apostleship, and one would have that gift during an era when the Word of God was incomplete. It's an office, put it that way. It was an office. Today, what offices do we have today? Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not apostles and prophets. I get all this from Ephesians 5. That's another topic. Don't distract me, please. All right. So Paul says he feels death doomed and he's stupid because of Christ. And this God is demonstrating to the world. And he calls it a theater. We became a theater. A theater is a structure designed and situated so that many, many eyes can focus at the same time upon one point. Now, in my book that I'm writing, The History of the Universe, I will be getting into this. I'm writing this in my newsletter, ZWTF. If you've never heard of it, go to my homepage, martinzender.com. Go scroll down the left, ZWTF, go to the archives. I'm going to be talking about the Earth as a theater, as a stage for the showdown between good and evil. And so think of the hugeness of the celestial world, and we don't even know how many celestial eyes there are gazing down on this one planet. Indeed, we are a theater to the world, that is, your friends, to the system, the people who you come in contact with at the grocery store, your tax accountant, whatever, your tax preparer, your accountant, your financial manager, the world. They gaze at us. And we are, Paul says, a theater to the world, to messengers, and to humans. I guess the world would be more the system. The way that's what the word means in the Greek, the system. So we're a gazing stock to the whole system. The whole system looks at us. Why us? Because we're so apart from the system, because we don't fit in with the system. Otherwise, the system wouldn't even notice us. But the system doesn't like us because we don't join the system. And we're a gazing stock to humans. We're a theater to humans. Yeah, our fellow human beings that are in the system. Paul differentiates the world from other humans, so I should too. So the world, again, is the system, the way things operate. The world operates one way, we operate another way. That's why we're a theater to the world. How are we a theater to humans? These are the people now we come in contact with. day in and day out. The people I mentioned formerly, your the lady who does your hair, cuts your hair, the mailman. Yeah, we're a theater to them. But this is the shocker. We are a theater to messengers. This is the Greek word angelos. It's angels. They act as messengers, which is why the Greek word for messengers is used. Angelos. It would have been nice, I think. I would have preferred the Concordant version to just transliterate it, bring it over as angels. But I guess people get this wrong idea about angels. I like the word angels. That's why I use it in the title of this show. Now, I have a friend. I'm not going to disclose the name of this person, but this person is typical of what happens to us, to you and to me, members of the body of Christ, every day, and that the angels are watching this. I contend to you that we are being humiliated every day. We are considered as sheep for slaughter. I believe that's Romans chapter 8. What a juicy condition to be in. I love it. I get up every day. What new slaughter do we have in store for today? What's on tap, Lord? What's on tap? What new way will I be humiliated or decimated or devastated or eviscerated or laminated today? Mm-hmm. Not that God doesn't sow in mercies. I'm kind of being hard on him a little bit. He does sow in kindnesses throughout to help get us through. So anyway, this friend of mine is going through a medical test, and this friend has to gather urine for 24 hours, right? Has to have a 24-hour urinary output test. I think it's also called pee. Somebody told me that it's a pee test. So, but they measure the amount of it. So this person I'm telling you about has to get up in the middle of the night, but this person during this 24-hour test, they needed to know. I don't know why they need to know how much pee. This is a humiliation in itself. That we are out down here measuring our piss. Measuring the amounts of it so that we can take it into a facility filled with hyper nutcase medical people who think they're on the top of the world so they can measure piss. So then they will get great insight into you by knowing how much fluid comes out of your bladder in a 24-hour period. Anyway, my friend was pissing like crazy, and the container that these clowns at the medical facility gave my friend was too small. So my friend's like topping it off. It's like, what? There's no more. So this friend of mine's trying to, in the middle of the night, trying to just tinkle, 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 drop, drop, drop to keep this thing from overflowing, but it doesn't. It spills on the floor, and my friend, on hands and knees, in the middle of the night, wiping urine from the floor. And my friend says, I wonder if the Celestials were just getting a real kick out of that. I hear you, because I think the same thing. Some days I'm trying to put on my pants. Other days I don't even try. Some days I try to put on my pants, and I know how to do it. I've done it for years. You put one leg in one leg hole. You put the other leg in the other leg hole. But when you get that one leg in, that's the easy one. Then you go to put the other one in, and you sometimes get it stuck, and you end up hopping around in your pants. This happens with underwear too sometimes. I wouldn't know. That's never happened to me with my underwear. Forget it. I'm not, you kidding me? No. But jeans, yes, I put on my jeans, hop around on the other 999. Remember that song? Or if it can't be found, I shall have to hop around on the other 999. That's a song about a centipede that breaks a leg or something. Yeah, I don't know. He hops around on the other 999 legs. Yeah, poor thing. So anyway, my friend says, I bet they're laughing their asses off at the humiliations. I thought the same thing. I'll be hopping around on my pants in the morning like, are you enjoying this? I'll actually look up to the heavens and say, are you enjoying this? Followed by an expletive. Are you enjoying this? Followed by an expletive. Yeah, you see, it's not that isolated incident. It's like the straw that breaks the back, right? It's the final humiliation on top of many other ones. It's not that causes me that much stress. It's the It's the conglomerate stress. It's the poor camel, and one more straw, and the camel goes, and goes down. The camel's down for the count. I told my friend, that my friend says, there must be laughing. I said, no. They envy us. I know this sounds crazy, but hear me out. Hear me out. They have seen the prototype of going low and being exalted high. And the prototype is Jesus Christ. That's an important prototype to this principle, that the lower you go, the higher you go. Those angels up there, they have never been mortal. They have never hopped around in their pants. They have never crawled on their hands and knees in the middle of the night, wiping up their own piss. They have never done that. They don't know what that's like. They flit around in air conditioning all day, and they look around with look down with telephoto lenses at us. They just haven't suffered that much. I'm not saying they haven't suffered them. I'm not saying that, but we are low. Why? How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ came here. He had to come here to battle evil because he was too high to battle evil where he was. And where he was is now where he is. And it's also where the angels are. And it's a higher place than here. Jesus Christ came to the depths, came to the lowest parts of the earth, Scripture says. That is literal as well as figurative. I mean, lowest parts of the earth as far as the humiliating parts, but the lowest actually, because even the Sea of Galilee is below sea level, and the Dead Sea area is the lowest point on the earth, and that's where he was. So he came down here, and he was humiliated beyond collecting his own piss. He was humiliated beyond hopping in and out of his pants. He was crucified, stripped of his clothing, beaten within an inch of his life, and nailed to a cross. Horrible, absolutely horrible. But because of that, because of his death, because of his humiliation, he has now gained more glory than he had before the world was. More glory now because of the humiliation. This illustrates the principle, the lower you go, the higher you go. And the celestial world, the angels who are looking at us as if we are in a theater like the Truman Show down here, they see that. He's the prototype. And they know that it is sacred down here. That is a sacred battleground down on that earth. And they know who we are more than we do. I told you yesterday, my dog knows who I am. My dog, Charles. Yeah, and the angels also know who I am, and they know who you are. And so they are not laughing. They are weeping to watch the humiliations that you go through. They are weeping with awe and reverence because they know what we're coming into. They might not know it completely, but I guarantee you that they have a much better idea of it than we do, because they're already up there. And they're getting winks from Jesus Christ. You know, it's like, I look at, see those people down there? You see that guy hopping in and out of his pants? Yeah. You see that person over there cleaning up their piss? Yeah. Okay, well, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Where do you see this? Where do you see? And they know that we are important members of the body of Christ because we complete Christ. And so he's the pattern, he's the prototype, he's the forerunner, he's the vanguard. We come after him and we do the same thing. Not quite as intense as a crucifixion, you know, not quite that intense, but pretty harrowing. So it is a pattern. It might not be the same degree, but it's the same kind. It's the same type. And they know what we're coming into. They know that we are the butterfly, but we're in cocoon form. And we're in boot camp, and we're going through these humiliations. But the more you're humiliated, let me tell you this, the more you are humiliated, the pattern is true. A little formula here I'm giving you, the more glorification will knock your socks off, and you won't be having to, you know, try to find your other sock. That's another humiliation. Try to find your other sock. You put two socks in the dryer, you take one sock out. Where'd the other sock go? Nobody knows. It's another humiliation. The angels probably come down and take it or something. I don't know what happens there, but it's just another humiliation. But no, they know that what we are going through is necessary to our glorification. The lower you go, the higher you go. And baby, we are going high.